of superpower. My title today, which is kind of fun, is a tattletale. And I don't know if you have ever been a tattletale. I don't know if anybody, if you have ever tattled on somebody else, or if anyone has ever tattled on you. What is a tattletale? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's a person. It's an adult. It's a child who constantly reports others' wrongdoing, secrets, to some type of an authority figure, to a parent, to a boss, to a cop, to a friend, to a family member. Tattletale, a snitch, an informer, a tattletale, also called a blabbermouth. And with that, open the Bible with me to John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the Pool of Bethesda, which had five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years. When Jesus saw him, and he knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool. When the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and he began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. "You," they said to the man who was cured, "you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." He replied, "The man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing to you?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now that you are well, stop sinning. Now that you are well, stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. Our text this morning says that the story in the text happened to be at a time of one of the Jewish holy days. Could have been the Passover, could have been Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shavuot, Sabbath. So many different days that they have and holy days. Could have been a new year, the start of a new year, the Day of Atonement, to celebrate the Exodus from Egypt, the Harvest Festival, giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. They had so many holy days that they separated. But our story in our text says this minute and this moment was on a holy day. It was at the pool. We like going to the pool. This was a special pool. The special pool believed to have healing powers. A special pool believed to have the cure to sickness, to people who were lame and crippled. This pool, the meaning of it, meaning mercy and flow. This special pool, people believed, could have been an angel, could have been something, would get in the water. And when this angel or something would get in the water, there'd be bubbles and the water would be stirred. And the first person to get in there, after the water was stirred and have bubbles, could be cured. There was a man, 38 years of his life being crippled, sick, broken. 38 years suffering. He had no hope. We know that by the tone and the words that he spoke to Jesus. This man, after 38 years, we know that he was a man with no hope, and he was stuck in the way of his life. Jesus, giving no thought to being what it was, he healed the man on Sabbath. And what he did on the Sabbath and what he told the man to do broke the laws of the Jewish leaders. You know, the Jewish traditions, they had 39 categories of work that was not allowed on the Sabbath. Sunday, the day of rest. 39 categories of work not allowed on the Sabbath. One of those laws, do not carry the mat that you sleep on the Sabbath. Do not. These men, interestingly enough, the Old Testament said to observe the Sabbath. It's a holy day. The Jewish people took that, what God said in the Ten Commandments, and they made hundreds of laws. One commandment, hundreds of laws. Didn't say in the Old Testament, don't pick up your mat. Didn't say any of those things. But what did they do? They expanded upon God's law, things that made them feel comfortable, things that fit their lifestyle. Jesus, in our text, he had a man break the tradition of the religious. He had the man break the law of the religious for a miracle. What would we do for a miracle? What would we do for a miracle? I love the scene. This was a scene where a massive miracle happened, but it quickly turned into a Sabbath crime scene. Our theme that we transitioned from unconditional love is superpower. And if you were to Google what superpowers people want, there's three that are the most popular: time travel, teleportation, and number three, the ability to heal people. I love that the top three, one of them is the ability to heal people, sickness. Because how many of us know someone who is really deathly ill? Maybe someone who has cancer or has died of cancer. How many of us know somebody who's extremely broken and hurt and is really could use a miracle? The top three superpowers that us humans want: the ability to transport anywhere, anytime, the ability to travel in time, and the most important, probably, the ability to heal someone. Do we have superpowers? Have you ever asked yourself, what's my superpower? Every one of us in here, I think maybe we don't label it a superpower, but there's probably something that we say, this is what I'm good at. This is who I am. This is what God was given, what God gave me. This is what my parents maybe passed on to me. One thing in our life that we feel, whether we're Christian, non-Christian, whether we're atheist, doesn't matter. There's one thing that every single person on this planet feels. This is my thing. This is my thing. What's your thing? What's your superpower? What's the thing that God, maybe not admitting that you feel it came from God, but what is the thing that's inside of you that you feel is the strength and fuel of your life? You know, no matter how many of us desire to have the superpower of teleportation to transport anywhere we want, is it humanly possible? No. If we, no matter what we wanted and what we thought, we know that there's hundreds of movies on time travel, but humanly possible, can you right now just travel into a different time? No. Healing powers, the ability to just walk up to someone. Do you, by yourself this morning, have the ability to heal whoever you want, whenever you want? And the answer is no. But we know someone who can. We know someone. I know a guy. We know a guy who has the power. His name is Jesus. And there's nothing impossible with Jesus. And so as we get into our story and we get into our text this morning, have you ever asked, how do I get healed? How do I find healing for somebody else? How do I get healed? How do I find healing for somebody else? How do I pray for someone and see them get healed? Well, we look at our text today, we see that, number one, it happened at a place that was considered to be a place of healing. Does being in the right place at the right time matter in life? How many of us have ever seen in life coming to family, job, getting a new job, finding money, finding friends, relationships, being in the right place at the right time, it matters. And this man in the story it mattered that he was in the right place at the right time, and he got a miracle because of it. There is a place, and it matters. We should be praying and asking God. So if we're asking ourselves, how do I get healed and how do I help other people find healing? Number one, we pray for the place of healing. God, where do I need to go? God, where does my friends need to go? Where should I go? What should I do? How do I help my friends get to this place? And maybe it's not a physical place, but maybe there's a mental or spiritual space inside that they need to get to. But there is a place of healing that we all must get to. We think about in the Bible, there are times when Jesus said to people, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. And so there is, when it comes to being a miracle, and how do I get healed, and how do I find healing for someone else, we have to ask ourselves, do we have enough faith to believe in the miracle and what God can do? Do I have that kind of faith? Do I allow my faith to grow to the point to believe and never doubt, to believe never doubting? If I pray for myself to be healed, it'll happen. If I pray for my friends to be healed, it will happen. Mark 11:22 says, Jesus saying to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. You must really believe and have no doubt. If there's something in life that we want, that we've prayed for, that we tried to believe for, and then we go out and make it happen on our own with our two hands, do we ever truly in our head fully give credit to God for that? No. If we pray for something and we don't take no action other than prayer and it happens. Now all of us, at times when things happen, we know how to say thank you, Jesus, right? Something good happens, it's thank you, Jesus. Even if we feel like we did it on our own, it's still thank you, Jesus. But we're looking and we're asking and we're thinking from this text and this story, the place of healing. How do I find healing? How do I help other people find this place of healing for them? Jesus clearly said, number one, remember, you must have faith in God. You must be able to speak, pray, and then have no doubt in your heart. He says you can pray for anything. If you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And I love that Jesus, and I love that God threw that in there, because there's so many people who say, I have no unforgiveness in my heart, I've forgiven everybody, but it's a bunch of hogwash. Lots of people still hate, still have anger, still have unforgiveness in their heart. John 14:12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same things that I've done, and even greater, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I'm going to do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. This man found healing after 38 years of suffering. No hope. It was his way of life. Being crippled was his way of life. This morning, let's look at it kind of differently. Maybe we're not physically crippled, but how many of us have been spiritually crippled? How many of us have been mentally crippled? How many of us have been emotionally crippled? Not willing, not wanting, really, truthfully, to talk about it, just like the man in the story, it was his way of life. And I think today, if we look at the billions of people on our planet, are there sick people today? Absolutely. Are there crippled people? Yes. But even more than the physical issues that we face and deal with, there are unseen issues that people don't deal with. Healing. If I wanted to be a part of a miracle, believe me, I would love to pray for someone, see them rise from the dead, right? If we're thinking in our head, what miracle, what one miracle can I be a part of, God? What one miracle can we be a part of? Yes, raise the dead. Maybe see someone who's in a wheelchair, be able to get out, right? Someone who can't walk, be able to get their legs, just like the person in this story. God, help me, use me to be part of a great miracle. But I wonder sometimes, maybe we put too much emphasis on the physical part of healing and maybe not enough on the internal healing that needs to take place in so many people around the world. We can't ever get stuck on the mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, the jealousy, the insecurity, the hate, the anger, the lust, the greed. Healing is important for every aspect of life. Healing is important for every aspect of life. God, help me to be healed. And so we ask ourselves, is there any issue, any part of me that needs to be healed? Is there anything in me that needs to be healed? Has there been anything in my life that today it still hurts? Is there anything ever been said to me and it still hurts? Anything that I've ever gone through and it still hurts? I'm sure every one of us that can think of at least one thing that we probably are still carrying this morning that still hurts. Healing. Yes, God uses us to be part of a miracle so we can see someone be healed. But how many of us understand the man was stuck for 38 years? Many of us in here, many of us listening, watching, are still stuck in one area of their life. Jesus, we see that he spoke to people, your faith has made you whole. But other times, Jesus didn't say that. It was his power. It was his authority. It was his divine authority, his power, his compassion that saved people. The biggest thing as we read this story in text is asking ourselves to get into the place of being someone, maybe who does not have superpowers, but truly knowing the one who does. And if all of us started using and being close and relying and trusting and believing for the superpower of Jesus to move in us and through us to other people, it is one of the greatest things that God's put us on this planet for, to be used to do, what did Jesus say? Greater things than I have done. Greater things. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were made for greater things. You were made for greater things. So we know from the text, we know from the Bible, it takes faith to be healed, it takes faith to believe, it takes faith to trust, it takes forgiveness to be a forgiving person, right, to see a miracle. But on the other side of the coin, sometimes we have to get out of our own way. Sometimes we have to get out of our own way. When Jesus came to the man, he said, "Do you want to be well?" And that's an important question, because sometimes, no matter how broken people are, no matter how crippled people are, they say and they ask, pray for me, but they truly don't want the situation to get better because they become used to that way of life. Sometimes we ourselves get in the way of our own miracle. Sometimes we ourselves get in the way of somebody else's miracle too. The man said in the story, "I have no one to help me." So in this man's mind, and I'm sure every one of us have been there in a situation where I have no help. I did not have the parents who helped me. I did not have the boss who supported me. I have no one to help me. The man said, "Listen, I can't get healed. I can't get a miracle." Three things why he said he couldn't have a miracle. One was, I have no one to help me. I can't get up. And someone always beats me there. Three things that caused him up to that point, that stopped him. He always got in the way of a miracle. Is there anything this morning that is stopping us? Are we getting in our own way that is stopping us from seeing a miracle that God wants to use, that God wants to do in our life, that God wants to use through us, that God wants to use in our family's lives, that God wants to do in our friend's life? God wants to still do miracles. We sang a song this morning, the same God that was in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. The same God that's in the New Testament is alive and breathing and moving today in 2026. It is the same God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's still loving. He's still giving. He's still compassionate. He's still powerful. He still serves people. He's still making sacrifices. God has not changed. He is the same God. And if he is the same God, maybe it's not his fault that whether we are missing out on a miracle or somebody we know, but maybe it's us and I'm getting in the way like the man. I have nobody to help me. No one. There's no one. I'm the only one dealing with this situation in the world. There's no one. No one. No one feels like I feel right now. No one's ever gone through this. How many of us have ever said that one comment right there? No one. How many of us have ever said the second thing? I can't. I can't do this. I can't change. This is who I am. I can't change. This is how I was born. I can't do this. This is the family God you gave me. I can't. I don't have the intellect to do something different. I can't talk in front of people because I'm too nervous and scared. It's not the gift you gave me. I can't pray for someone to get healed because I don't feel like that was my gift either. How many people have ever thrown that around? It's not my calling. I'm not. I don't have the gift of faith. I don't have the gift of healing. I don't. I can't. I won't. Three things that stopped this guy for 38 years from seeing something. No one will help me. I can't do it. And someone always beats me there. We see the heart and the intention of this man. Three things that all of us in humanity, we still deal with. There's nobody to help me. Nobody who cares. Nobody's around who's going to give me a hand. Having a pity party. Number two, I just can't do it. I don't want to. I can't do it. I can't. I won't. And thirdly, I'm not going to try because someone else gets the job. I'm not going to try because someone else is going to end up doing it. If I don't do good, somebody else will end up getting it done, right? I can't. I won't. No one to help me. We all have that human side, just like this man in the story. But sometimes it's our human side that is stopping us from the miracles and the provision and the deliverance and salvation. Maybe not of us, but of somebody else. Sometimes it's our humanness that is stopping God from moving. Sometimes in our humanness, it's normal to feel this way. It's normal to act this way. That's how I brought up. This is my family. This is our tradition. This is our culture. We have so many limitations that we're putting on God because it's how we grew up. It's what we were told. This is what you do. You do this, you do this, you do this and this. This is how you are supposed to be, how you're supposed to live and act. Sometimes it's our human side we don't realize that's getting in the way of God moving. How, is there one thing this morning that we're praying for? Is there one thing this morning that we're truly believing for? Is there one thing that we desire? God, I really think this is a good thing. I just don't have it yet. God, this is one thing I really want to believe and see. And maybe it hasn't come yet. But maybe we stop and ask ourselves, God, is there anything in my humanness that is stopping you from answering this prayer? Do I say I trust you, but I really don't? Do I say I believe, but I'm really not? Am I just too comfortable in my humanness, in the crutch, in the past, in the pain, in the misery? Have I become best friends with my anger, and so I don't want to let the anger go? Have I become best friends with an insecurity, and I don't want to let the insecurity go? Have I become best friends with jealousy, and I don't want to let jealousy go? May our human side never, ever stop us from receiving what God wants to give to us. Praying for divine moments. The other thing that could stop us, unfortunately, and I think every single one of us deals with this in some form or fashion, and that is being religious. The religious people in this story, we know that they took the Ten Commandments, and what did they do with the Ten Commandments? They made hundreds of laws. One of those laws was you do not pick up your sleeping mat, and you cannot move it on the Sabbath. Now, I don't have no idea. Maybe in their mind, it made a lot of sense. On this day, you leave that sleeping mat where you slept, and you don't touch it till the next day for whatever reason. That's not what God said in the Old Testament. The law was you observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, by keeping your heart right, by guarding your heart, by guarding your mind, by being able to keep one day of the week fully blessing, believing in God as we should 7 days a week, right? The religious people, I think, at times, every one of us sometimes, we can be religious. And how do we know if we're religious? The religious leader, they became more concerned with tradition than they did the Bible. Well, this is my tradition. This is my family tradition. If family tradition, if regular tradition is more important than Bible, then you know maybe we're a little religious. The religious people, they were more concerned that Jesus broke the law than they were concerned about the man who was given a new life. This may be one of the biggest things that we see in religious people. We all have rules in our houses. We all have rules. How many of us have ever been to a church where we felt like there's certain rules in certain cliques? And if I'm not in that clique and I'm not part of this, then I'm out, right? The religious people, they were so over-consumed with themselves that they didn't care about anybody else. They were so selfish. They were only concerned about their comfort and how they felt and what they needed. They never, ever, ever could see Jesus for who he was because of their religious spirit. Ever. Most of these men unwilling to change. Most of these men never being able to see or change because they were so stinking religious. Their jealousy of Jesus. Their insecurity because Jesus was powerful and they weren't. They knew the Old Testament, but Jesus was the living representation of God himself. He was walking the streets full of power, full of might, miracles every day, healings every day. Everywhere he went, things were happening. And so it's no wonder that the Pharisees, the religious, got a little insecure because they're like, we're supposed to be the experts, but look at that guy. We're supposed to be the experts, but look at that guy. The religious people, and I love in this story that the religious people, we know that every time Jesus did something, they found something to complain about. And we ask ourselves, when we're doing good things, do people complain? When I'm trying to help someone, does someone else complain about it? When I'm trying to do God's work, does someone else complain? And maybe if there's not enough people complaining about the good we're doing, maybe we're not doing enough good things that God's asked us to do. We're always, if you're doing God's work, people will complain. If you're doing God's work, guess what? The devil's going to come after you. But who has the power, you or the devil? So many people give power to the devil instead of completing the job that God's put us here to do. I start doing good, the devil hits me, and then I fall back. Why should we power and give power to the devil? Finish what God's asked us to do. If he gave us a job, and we know there's one job in the Bible, which was what? Make disciples of all the nations. So every day, God, what do you want me to do? Make another disciple. Tell somebody else about Jesus. Give out some water. He said, give out some water. Well, what does that do? Well, it's quenching the thirst of somebody. Give a piece of bread. Give some cold water. Give a track. If we don't want to say something to somebody else, give a track. But if we aren't hearing other people complain about the good we're doing, then maybe we're not doing God's work. The religious people every single day, what did they do? They complained about the work Jesus was doing. Sometimes doing good work isn't God work. Sometimes doing good things isn't doing God's thing. That's why many people, we know that the Jewish religious people, they took the Ten Commandments, and then they, you know what they did? They interpreted it the way they wanted. There's so many people who take God's word, and they're interpreting it the way they want to, just so they're like the religious. Yeah, let's keep the Sabbath holy. Oh. That means I don't have to cook. That means I can't carry my mat. That means I don't have to put anything on my donkey. I don't have to feed my animals on that day. They made what they wanted to make that fit themselves. God's word. It's not so that we can just fit it and mold it to whatever feels good or comfortable to us. That's the religious. And we all can be religious. We all can deal with the religious spirit at times. What I want, how I want. Yeah, I'm going to do your work, but it's going to be my way. God, I'm going to serve you at church, but it's only going to serve what I want to serve. God, I'll give money, but it's only what I and the amount I want to give. I'm not going to give. God, you want me to give $5,000? I only want to give $10. God, you want me to give $1,000? I only want to give $5. How many of us, let's be honest, what's comfortable to ourselves, not maybe what God's word says. The religious, constantly interpreting the Bible to fit their needs for their benefit. Oh, God of the impossible. God of the impossible. I want to read a text and then we're going to wrap up and kind of pull every single thing together. We're going to go to John chapter 5. We're actually continuing the text that we started with. Just reading three more verses. Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and what? So am I." Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, but he called God his father, thereby making himself equal with God. Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." 2 Corinthians 4:5. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We don't go around bragging about ourselves. We don't go around just constantly talking about ourselves and what we're doing. We preach, we talk, we share. Jesus Christ is Lord. We ourselves are your servants of Jesus' sake. For God said, "Let there be light in the darkness." He made this light shine in our hearts so we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear. Our great power is from God and not from ourselves. So be pressed on every side by trouble, but never crushed. Perplexed, but never driven to despair. Hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but were never destroyed. Through our suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. We live in constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. We live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith as Psalmos had when he said, I believe in God, and so I speak. Jesus said to the religious, my Father is what? Always working. What's God always doing working? Is he working at his golf game? Is God working at his tan, his color? Jesus said, my Father is always working. What kind of work was Jesus describing? Well, real simple. Feeding people who are hungry. Giving water to people who are thirsty. Giving money to God so the work can be done. Always working so that work will continue to work and work and work and work and work and work and work. Always. How often did Jesus say God is working? Always. So Jesus said, so am I. Our video today, God of the impossible. God wants to use you to be a part of the impossible. But we have to be willing, like David. David was one young teenager who was not afraid of what other people thought. Not one man, no burly, hairy, stinky man wanted to fight Goliath because he was big, over 9 feet tall. Goliath was strong and big. He was the best of the best warrior that the Philistines had. And so no man wanted to fight him. No man wanted to go against the best. Except a young teenager boy who said, what? God, here I am. Send me. There's things in places today, God's saying, and he's waiting. Miracles are just there waiting, about to happen. But God's waiting for us. Say, God, here I am. Send me. Maybe it's not to be a part of the situation I want to be a part of. Maybe it's not to do the work that honestly, God, I really truly feel like doing. Maybe it's not giving that kind of money because that's more than I want to give. There's lists, goes on and on and on. Things that don't fit our comfort level, but they do fit the word of God. He wants to do something great. He wants to do something big. But sometimes we get stuck. My title is called Tattletale, so bump your neighbor and say, you a tattletale. There was a tattletale in our story today. Who was the man who was the tattletale? It was the man who was healed. 38 years. He was healed, delivered after 38 years. He was crippled for 38 years. He could not walk on his own. He had poor hygiene. He didn't brush. He couldn't wash by himself. This man had no mobility or hygiene. So think 38 years of being stinky. How gross was that? It was bad. Until the day he met Jesus. And he meets Jesus. And he gets a brand new option in life. People start complaining. Why'd you get healed on the Sabbath? I can't believe you were healed on the Sabbath. I can't believe you picked up your mat. I can't believe you rolled up that mat and you carried it to a different place. Why did you do that? Well, that man told me to. Well, who's that man? He found out it was Jesus. And what did he do? He went and told the religious people. He was the tattletale. It's Jesus who healed me. But what was the one thing Jesus said to him before he was a tattletale? He said, listen, God's given you a new life. But what did he say? Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Because even caring what other people think above doing what God wants us to do is a sin. Jesus said, don't be afraid of people who want to kill your body because they can't throw you into hell. Fear God because he can kill you and he could put your soul in hell. The man in the moment became a tattletale because he was more concerned with the religious than he was with God who gave him new life. He was more concerned with people. And sometimes we get more concerned with people than telling the truth. Sometimes we're more concerned and I'll look stupid if I do this than doing what God wants me to do. God created us all with the ability to have his superpower, a jar of clay containing not our power, the power of God in us to do things that are impossible. But sometimes we have to get out of the way. And sometimes we have to make sure there is no religious spirit hanging or lurking in me. God, like David, use me. God, send me. Do we want to be a part of seeing something greater than we've ever seen ever before? Like David, a young man who killed a lion. He killed a bear. He took down a giant. He wasn't perfect, but we know that in his lifetime he took down a lion, he took down a bear, he took down a giant, and he had no fear of what any man would do to him because he had full trust in God. Are we afraid of anything? Is there anyone that we're afraid of this morning? Is there anything that we're afraid to face? If so, that means we don't have enough lack in faith and trust in God. What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen in a year? What's going to happen here? That shows. It's stopping us from seeing maybe the miracle God wants to do today. You have a superpower. We all have a superpower. And that's the person we know. God is God. He's the God of the impossible. I like the name of the song. Let's pray.